Huizu said to Chung Tzu, "All your teaching is centered on what has no use." Chung Tzu replied, "If you have no appreciation for what has no use, you cannot begin to talk about what can be used. The earth, for example, is broad and vast. But of all this expanse, a man uses only a few inches upon which he happens to be standing at the time. Now suppose you suddenly take away all that he is not actually using, so that all around his feet a gulf yawns, and he stands in the void with nowhere solid except under each foot. How long will he be able to use what he is using?" Huizu said, "It would cease to serve any purpose." Chuang Tzu concluded, "This shows the absolute necessity of what is supposed to have no use."
Life is a dialectics. That's why it is not a logic. Logic means the opposite is really opposite. And life always implies the opposite in itself. In life, the opposite is not really the opposite. It is the complementary. Without it, nothing is possible. For example, life exists because of death. If there is no death, there cannot be any life. Death is not the end, and death is not the enemy. Rather, on the contrary, because of death, life becomes possible. So death is not somewhere in the end. It is involved here and now. Each moment has its life and its death. Otherwise, existence is impossible. There is light. There is darkness. For logic, they are opposites. And logic will say, if it is light, there cannot be any darkness. If it is dark, then there cannot be any light. But life says quite the contrary. Life says, if there is darkness, it is because of light. If there is light, it is because of darkness. You may not be able to see the other, but it is hidden just around the corner. There is silence because of sound. If there is no sound at all, can you be silent? How can you be silent? The opposite is needed as a background. Those who follow logic, they always go wrong. Because their life becomes lopsided. They think of light, then they start denying darkness. They think of life, then they start fighting death. That's why there exists no tradition in the world where it is said God is both light and darkness. There is one tradition which says God is light. It is not darkness. No darkness exists in God for these people who believe God is light. There is another tradition that says God is darkness, but for them, there is no light. Both are wrong, because both are logical. They deny the opposite. And life is so vast, it takes the opposite in itself. It is not denied. It is embraced. Once somebody said to Walt Whitman, one of the greatest poets ever born, that Whitman, you go on contradicting yourself. Someday you say this, another day you just say the opposite. Walt Whitman laughed and said, I'm vast. I contain the contradictions. Only small minds are consistent. Narrower the mind, more consistent. When the mind is vast, everything is involved. Light is there, darkness is there, God is there, and devil also in its total glory. If you understand this mysterious process of life, which moves through the opposites, which is dialectical, the opposite helps. It gives balance. It gives tone. It makes the background. Then only you can understand Chandrasu. Because the whole Taoist vision is based on the complementariness of the opposites. They use two words, yin and yang. They are opposites, male and female. Just think a world which is totally male. Or a world which is totally female. It will be dead. The moment it is born, it will be dead. There cannot be any life. If it is a female world, only women and women and women and no men, they will commit suicide. The opposite is needed because the opposite is attractive. The opposite becomes the magnet. The opposite pulls you. The opposite brings you out of yourself. The opposite breaks your prison. The opposite makes you vast. Whenever the opposite is denied, there is going to be trouble. And we have been doing that. Hence, so much trouble in the world. Man has tried to create a society which is basically male. That's why there is so much trouble. The woman has been denied. She has been thrown out. In the past centuries, the woman was never to be seen anywhere. She was just hidden in the back chambers of the house. Not even in the drawing room she was allowed. You couldn't meet her on the streets. You couldn't see her in the shops. She was not part of life. The world went ugly. Because how can you deny the opposite? It becomes lopsided. All balance is lost. The world went mad. Still, the woman is not allowed. She is really not yet a part, a vital part of life. Men move in man-oriented groups, exclusively the male club, where boys meet, the market, the politics, the scientific group. Everywhere It is lopsided. Man dominates. That's why there is so much misery. Because when one of the polar opposites dominates, there will be misery. Because the other feels hurt. And there is revenge. So every woman is taking the revenge in the house. Of course, she cannot go and move and take revenge with humanity, with mankind. She takes the revenge with the husband. There is constant conflict. I have heard Mullah Nasruddin was saying to his son that it is none of your business. Don't ask such things. Who are you to ask me that how I met your mother? But one thing I will tell you. She sure cured me of whistling. And then he said, this is the moral of this story. That if you don't want to be unhappy like me, never whistle to a girl. Why? The wife is always in conflict. It is not the person. It is not a personal thing. It is a revenge of the woman, of the female, of the denied opposite. And this man, this husband, represents the whole male world, the male-oriented world in the house. She is fighting. Family life is so miserable because we have not heard what Lao Tzu says. There are so many wars because we have not listened that the opposite has to be merged. Negating it, you invite trouble. And in every path, on every level, in every dimension, the same is the thing. Lao Tzu says that if you deny the useless, then there will be no use in the world. If you deny the useless, the playful, the fun, there cannot exist any work, any duty. This is very difficult, and the whole emphasis is on the useless. If you look at a door, you will see the wall. If somebody asks you what a house consists of, you will say walls. And Chuang Tzu will say, just like as his master Lao Tzu will say, that the house consists not of walls but of doors and windows. Their emphasis is for the other part. They say walls are useful. But their use depends on the useless space behind. A room is space, not walls. Of course, space is free. And walls have to be purchased. When you purchase a house, what do you purchase? The walls, the material, the visible. But can you live in the material? Can you live in the walls? You have to live in the room, in the vacant space. You purchase the boat, but you have to live in the emptiness. So really, what is a house? Emptiness surrounded by walls. And what is a door? There is nothing. Door means there is nothing, no wall, emptiness. But you cannot enter in the house if there is no door. If there is no window, then no sun will enter, no breeze will blow. You will go deaf, then your house will become a town. Chuang Tzu says, remember that the house consists of two things, the walls, the market, the utilitarian, the material, and the emptiness surrounded by the walls, the non-utilitarian, which cannot be purchased, which cannot be sold, which has no economical value. How you can sell emptiness? But you have to live in the emptiness. If a man lives only in the walls, he will go mad. It is impossible to do that, but we try to do the impossible. In life, we have chosen the utilitarian. For example, if a child is playing, you say, stop. What are you doing? This is useless. Do something useful. Learn, read, at least do the homework. The useful. Don't be a vagabond around. And if you go on insisting this on a child, by and by you will kill the useless. And then the child will become just useful. And when a person is simply useful, he is dead. You can use him. He is a mechanical thing now. A means, not an end unto himself. You are really yourself when you are doing something useless. Painting. Not to save. Just enjoy. Gardening. Just to enjoy. Lying down on the beach. Not doing anything. Just to enjoy. Useless. The fun. Sitting silently by the side of a friend. Much can be done in these moments. You can go to the shop, to the market. You can earn something. You can change time into money. You can have a bigger bank balance, because these moments will not come back. And foolish people say time is money, because they know only one use of time, how to convert it into more money and more money and more money. And in the end, you die with a big bank balance, but inside totally poor, because the inner richness arises only when you can enjoy the useless. What is meditation? People come to me and they say, what is the use of it? What we will gain out of it? What is the benefit? Meditation, and you ask about the benefit, then you cannot understand it, because meditation is just useless. The moment I say useless, you feel uncomfortable, because the whole mind has become so utilitarian, so commodity oriented. You ask for the result. You cannot conceive something can be a pleasure into itself. Useless means you enjoy it, but there is no benefit out of it. You are deeply merged into it. It gives you bliss. But when you are deeply in it, you cannot accumulate that bliss. You cannot make a treasure out of it. In the world, two types of people have existed. The utilitarians, they become scientists, engineers, doctors, And then there is the other part, the complementary. The poets, the vagabonds, the sannyasins, useless. Not doing anything useful. But they give the balance. They give the grace to the world. Think of a world full of scientists and not a single poet. It will be absolutely ugly, not worth living. Think of a world, everybody in the shops, in the offices, not a single vagabond. It will be hell. The vagabond gives beauty. Two vagabonds were caught once, because the magistrate, the police, they are the custodians of the utilitarians. They protect, because this useless part is dangerous. It can go on spreading. So nowhere vagabonds are allowed. Useless people. If you are just standing on the street and somebody asks, "What are you doing?" and you say nothing, the police will immediately take you to the court, because nothing is not allowed. You must do something. Why you are standing there? If you say simply, "I am standing and enjoying," you are a dangerous man, a hippie. You will be caught. Two vagabonds were caught. The magistrate asked the first one, "Where do you live?" The man said, "The whole world is my home. This car is my shelter." I move everywhere. There is no barriers. I am a free man. Then he asked the other, "Where do you live?" He said, "Next door to him." These people give beauty to the world. They are the perfume. A Buddha is a vagabond. A Mahavir is a vagabond. This man, this vagabond, answered that the sky is my only center. That is what is meant by the word Digambar. Mahavir, the last Tirthankara of Jaina, is known as Digambar. Digambar means naked. Only the sky is the clothing. Nothing else. The sky is the center, the home. Whenever the world goes too much utilitarian, you create many things, you possess many things, you become obsessed with things, but the inner is lost. Because the inner can flower only when there is no outer tension. When you are not going anywhere, just resting, then the inner flowers. The religion is absolutely useless. What use is the temple? What use is the mosque? What use is the church? In Russia, they have converted all the temples, mosques and churches into hospitals, schools, because some use. Why this temple is standing without any use? The communists are the utilitarians. That's why they are against religion. They have to be, because religion gives way to the useless. To that which cannot be in any way exploited, to that which cannot be made a means to anything else. You can have it. You can be blissful in it. You can feel the highest ecstasy possible. But you cannot manipulate. It is a happening. When you are not doing anything, it happens. And the greatest has always been happening when you are not doing anything. Only the tribal happens when you are doing something. Soren Kierkegaard, one Danish philosopher, has written something very penetrating. He said, when I started prayer, I would go to the church and I will talk to the God. That's how what Christians are doing all over the world. Talking to the God. And as if God is deaf, so talking very loud. And as if God is just a foolish entity, so advising him what to do and what not to do. Or as if God is just a foolish monarch, persuading him, bribing him to fulfill the desires that are in me. Kierkegaard, since I started talking, then suddenly I realized, because this is useless, how can you talk? Before God, one has to be silent. What there is to be said, and what can I say which will help God to know more? He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He knows all. So what is the purpose of my telling him? So Kierkegaard said, in the first step I was starting for many years, then suddenly I realized this is foolish. So I stopped talking, I became silent. Then after many years I realized even silence won't do. Then third step was taken, and that is listening. First I was talking, then I was not talking, and then I was listening. Listening is different than just being silent. Because just being silent is a negative thing. Listening is a positive thing. Just being silent is passive. Listening is an alert passiveness, waiting for something. Not saying anything, but waiting for the whole being. It is an intensity. And Kierkegaard said, when this listening happens, then for the first time prayer happens. But listening is absolutely useless. And listening to the unknown, you don't know where he is. Silence is useless. Talking seems to be useful. Something can be done through talking. You are doing many things in the world. And then you think, if you have to become religious, you will have to do something else. But you will have to do. Chuang Tzu says, religion begins only when you have understood the futility of all doing, and you have moved to the polar opposite of non-doing, of inactivity, of becoming passive, of becoming useless. Now we should enter the sutra, the useless. Hui Tzu said to Chuang Tzu, all your teaching is centered on what has no use. This teaching seems to be. Not much worth. But they were always talking, Chuang Tzu and his master, about the useless. He has even praised men who were useless. Chuang Tzu talks about a man, a hunchback. All the young people of the town were forcibly entered into the military, into the army, because they were useful. Only one man who was a hunchback, he was useless, was left behind. Chuang Tzu said, be like the hunchback, so useless that you are not slaughtered in the war. They go on praising the useless, because they say the useless will always be in difficulty, the useful will always be in difficulty, because the world will use. Everybody is ready to use you, to manipulate you, to control you. If you are useless, nobody will look at you, people will forget you, they will leave you in silence. They will not bother about you, they will simply become unaware that you are. It happened to me. I'm a useless man. In my childhood days, I will be sitting, and my mother will be sitting just in front of me, and she will look all around and say, I cannot see anybody. I would like to send someone to fetch vegetables from the market. I'm sitting just before her. And she will say, I cannot see anybody here. And I will laugh inside me. She cannot send me to the market. She is not aware that I am there. I was so useless. Once, my aunt had come, and she was not aware of my uselessness. My mother was saying that there is nobody, all the children are gone out, and the servant is ill, so what to do? Somebody has to be sent. So my aunt said, so why not send Rajni? He is sitting there, not doing anything. So I was sent. I asked the man, the vendor there, give me the best vegetable you have got. The best bananas, the best mangoes. Looking at me, and the way I was talking, he must have thought he is a fool, because nobody asked about the best. So he charged double and gave me all the rotten things he had. I came very happy. My mother threw them out and said, look, that's why I say that there is nobody. Chuang Tzu insists very much that be alert and don't become very useful, otherwise people will exploit you. Then they will start managing you. And then you will be in trouble. And if you can produce things, they will force you to produce all your life. If you can do a certain thing, if you are skillful, then you will be wasted. He says that the useless has its own intrinsic utility. Useful, you can be for others. Then you have to live for others. Useless, nobody looks at you. Nobody pays any attention to you. Nobody is bothered by your being. You are left alone. In the marketplace, you live as if you are living in the Himalayas. In that solitude, you grow. Your whole energy moves inwards. Hui Tzu said to Chuang Tzu, all your teaching is centered on what has no use. Chuan replied, if you have no appreciation for what has no use, you cannot begin to talk about what can be used. He said, the useless is the other aspect of the useful. You can talk about the useful only because of the useless. It is a vital part. If you drop it completely, then nothing will be useful. Things are useful because there are things which are useless. But this has happened to the world. We have cut all playful activities, thinking that the whole energy will be moving towards work. But now work has become a burden. One has to move to the opposite polar. Only then one gets rejuvenated. The whole day you are awake. In the night you fall asleep, wasting time. And it is not a small time. If you live 90 years, 30 years you will be asleep. One third, 8 hours every day. What is the use? Scientists in Russia are thinking that this is a wastage of labor energy. This is a very economical drawback. So something should be done. Some chemical changes are needed, or some hormonal changes, or even if something has to be changed in the very gene, in the very cell, we have to do it. And we have to make a man who is aware, alert, awake 24 hours. They will kill. Just think if they succeed. Then they will make you an automat, just a mechanical device which goes on working and working. No day, no night, no rest, no work. There is no opposite to move and forget. And they have started many things. They have started sleep teaching for small children. Now the children are sleeping. Thousands of children in Soviet Russia are sleeping with tape recorders plugged to their ears. While they are sleeping, the tape recorder is teaching them. The whole night the tape recorder is repeating something or other. So they go on listening to it and it becomes part of their memory. Sleep teaching. Hypnopedia. And they say sooner or later, all that we do in the schools can be done while the child is asleep. And then the day can be used in some other way. Even if sleep has to be exploited, you cannot be allowed to be yourself even in your sleep. You cannot be even allowed to have the freedom to dream. Then what you are? Then you become a cog in the wheel. Then you are just an efficient part of the wheel, of the mechanism. If you are efficient, it is okay, otherwise you can be discarded and thrown to the junk, to the junkyard. Somebody else will replace you who is more efficient. What happens after the whole day's work, you fall asleep? What happens? You move from the useful to the useless. And that's why in the morning you feel so fresh, so alive, so unburdened. Your legs have a dancing quality. Your mind can sing. Your heart can again feel. All the dust of work is thrown, the mirror is again clear. You have a clarity in the morning. How it comes? It comes through the useless. That's why meditation can give you the greatest glimpses, because it is the most useless thing in the world. You simply don't do anything. You simply move into silence. It is greater than sleep, because in sleep you are unconscious. So whatsoever happens, happens unconsciously. You may be moving in paradise, but you don't know. In meditation you move knowingly. Then you become aware of the path, how to move from the useful world of the without to the useless world within. And when you know the path, you can simply, any moment, move inwards. Sitting in a bus, you are not needed to do anything, you are simply sitting. Traveling in a car, or in a train, or in an aeroplane, you are not doing anything. Everything is being done by others. You can close the eyes and move into the useless, the inner. And suddenly everything becomes silent. And suddenly everything is cool. And suddenly you are at the source of our life. But it has no value in the market. You cannot go and sell it. And you cannot say that I have great meditation. Is anybody ready to buy it? Nobody will be ready to buy it. It is not a commodity, it is useless. Chandasu says, if you have no appreciation for what has no use, you cannot begin to talk about what can be used. The earth, for example, is broad and vast. But of all this expanse, a man uses only a few inches upon which he happens to be standing at the time. Now, suppose you suddenly take away all that he is not actually using, so that all around his feet a gulf yawns, and he stands in the wild with nowhere solid except under each foot. How long will he be able to use what he is using? This is a beautiful simile. He has caught the point. You are sitting here. You are using only a small space, 2 by 2. You are not using the whole earth. The whole earth is useless. You are using only a small portion by 2 by 2. Says Chandrasu, suppose the whole earth is taken away. Only this 2 by 2 is left for you. You are standing, each foot using few inches of earth. Only that is left, and the whole earth is taken away. How long you will be able to use this small part that you are using? A gulf, an infinite abyss yawns around you. You will get dizzy immediately. You will fall into the abyss. The useless earth supports the useful. And the useless is vast. And the useful is very small. And this is true on all levels of being. The useless is vast. The useful is very small. If you try to save the useful and forget the useless, sooner or later you will get dizzy. And this has happened. You are already dizzy and falling into the abyss. All over the world, thinking people have a problem that life has got no meaning. Life seems to be meaningless. Ah, Sartre, Marcel, Jaspers, Heidegger, they say life is meaningless. Why life has become so meaningless? It was never so. Buddha never said. Krishna could dance, sing, and joy. Muhammad could pray and thank God for the blessing that he has showered upon as life. Chantasu is happy as possible, as happy as a man can be. They never said life is meaningless. What has happened to the modern mind? Why life seems so meaningless? The whole earth has been taken away, and you are left only on the path you are sitting or standing. You are getting dizzy. All over you see the abyss and the danger. And you cannot use the earth you are standing now, because you could use it only when the useless was trying to get it. The useless must be there. What does it mean? Your life has become only work and no play. The play is the useless, the vast. The work is the useful, the tribal, the smart. You have made your life completely filled with work. Whenever you start doing something, the first thing that comes to the mind is, what is the use? If there is some use, you do it. Sartre has a character in one of his stories. In the coming century, 21st, a very rich man says that love is not for me, it is only for poor people. As far as I am concerned, my servants can do it. Of course, why a fool should go and waste time loving a woman? A cheap servant can do that. A fool's time is more valuable. He should put it to some greater use. It is possible. Looking at the human mind as it is, it is possible. But in the future, only servants will make love. When you can depute a servant, why bother yourself? Because when everything is thought in terms of economics, then a Ford, a Rockefeller, they can make so much use of their time, why they should go and waste their time with a woman? They can send a servant. And that will be less trouble also. It looks absurd to us hearing this. But this has already happened in many dimensions of life. You never play. Your servants are doing that. You are never an active participant in any fun. Others are doing it for you. You go to see a football match. Others are doing it, and you are just seeing. You are a passive spectator, not involved. You go to a movie to see a film. Others are doing the love, the war, the violence, everything. You are just a spectator in the scene. It is so useless, you need not bother to do it. Anybody else can do it. You can just see. Work you do, fun others are doing for you, then why not love? The same logic. Somebody else will do it. Life seems meaningless because the meaning consists in a balance of the useful and the useless. You have denied the useless completely. You have closed the door. Now only useful is there. Useful becomes a burden. Then you are too much burdened by it. It is a sign of success that if at the age of 40 you get ulcers, it shows that you are successful. If you have passed the age of 40 and have become 50 and still ulcers have not appeared, you are a failure. What you have been doing the whole life, you must be wasting time. By the 50, really, you must have the first heart attack. Now, scientists have calculated by 40, a successful man must have ulcers, by 50, the first heart attack. By 60, he is gone. And he never lived. There was no time to live. He had so many more important things to do. No time to live. Look all around. Look at successful people. Politicians, rich men, big industrialists. What is happening to them? Don't look at their things they possess. Look at them directly. Because if you look at the things, you will be deceived. Because things don't have ulcers. Cars don't have heart attacks. Houses are not hospitalized. Don't look at things, otherwise you will be deceived. Look at the person. Bereft of all his possessions, look directly at him. And then you will feel the power. Then even a beggar may be a rich man. Then even a poor man may be richer as far as life is concerned. Success fails, and nothing fails like success. Because the man who succeeds is losing his grip on life, on everything. The man who succeeds is really bargaining, throwing away the real for the unreal, throwing away inner diamonds for colored pebbles on the shore, collecting the pebbles, losing the diamonds. A rich man is a loser. A successful man is a failure. But because you look with the eyes of ambition, you look at the business. You never look at the politician, you look at the post, the prime ministership. You look at the power. You never look at the person who is sitting there absolutely powerless. Missing everything. Not even a glimpse of what bliss is. He has purchased the power, but in purchasing it, he has lost himself. And it is all a bargain. I have heard after the mass rally, a leader was screaming at his manager. The manager couldn't understand it. And the leader said, I have been cheated. The manager said, I cannot listen. The rally was so successful. So many thousands of people came. And look at your garlands. They have covered you with flowers. The man said, Count them, the leader said. Only 11. And I paid her 12. In the end, every successful man will feel that he has been cheated. That has to happen. It is bound to happen. It is inevitable. Because what you are giving and what you are receiving, the inner self is being lost for futile purposes. You can deceive others, but how you will be able to deceive yourself? In the end, when you will look at your life, you will see you missed it because of the useful. The useless must be there. The useful is like a garden, neat, clean. The useless is like a vast forest. Natural, it cannot be so neat and clean. But nature has its own beauty. When everything is neat and clean, it is already dead. A garden cannot be very alive. Because you go on pruning it, cutting it, managing it. A vast forest has a vitality. A very powerful soul, go into a forest and you will feel the impact. Get lost into a forest and then you will see the power of it. In a garden, you cannot feel the power. It is not there. It is man-made. You can look at it. It is cultivated. It is managed, manipulated. Really, a garden is a false thing. The real thing is the forest. The useless is like vast forests. And the useful, it's just like a garden you have created around your house. But don't go on cutting the forest. It is okay. Your garden is okay. But let it be a part of the vast forest that is not your garden, but God's garden. And can you think anything more useless than God? Can you use Him in any way? That is the trouble. That's why we cannot find any meaning in God. And those who are very meaning-oriented, they become atheists. They say there is no God, there cannot be. Because how a God can be there? Because God seems useless. It is better to drop Him out. Then the world is left for us to manage and control. So we can make the whole world a market. We can change temples into hospitals, into primary schools. But the uselessness of God is the very base of all the utility that goes on. If you can play, your work will become a pleasure. If you can enjoy simple fun, your work will not be a burden on you. If you can become like children while playing, but difficult, your mind goes on thinking in terms of money. I have heard once Mulla Nasruddin came to this house and he found his best friend with his wife in bed. friend was very much embarrassed and got scared. And he said, "Listen, I cannot do anything. I am in love with your wife. And she is in love with me. And you being a rational man, we should come to some arrangement. It is no use fighting about it." So Nasruddin said, "What arrangement do you suppose?" The man said, "We should play a game of cards. Let the wife be at the stake. If I win, you simply leave. If you win, I will never see your wife again." Nasruddin said, "That's right, settled." But then he said, "Put some stakes. 1 rupee each point. Because otherwise the whole thing is so useless. Just for wife. The whole thing is so useless. Don't waste my time. Put some money also on the stake, so the thing becomes useful. Money seems to be the only useful thing. All those who are utilitarians will be money mad, because money can purchase. Money is the essence of all utility. So if Buddha and people like Buddha renounced, it is not because they were against money, it is because they were against utility, against the useful. So they said, "Keep all your money with you. I am moving into the forest. Death garden is no more for me. I will move in the vast, the uncharted, where one can be lost. This neat thing, they will pass. Everything known, mapped, is not for me. When you move into the vastness of uselessness, your soul becomes vast. When you go into the sea with no map, you become like the ocean. Then the very challenge of the unknown cleaves your soul. When you are secure, when there is no problem, when everything is mathematically planned, settled, your soul sinks. There is no challenge for it. The useless gives the challenge. Now suppose you suddenly take away all that he is not actually using, so that all around his feet a gulf yawns, and he stands in the wild with nowhere solid except under each foot. How long will he be able to use that he is using? Without God, the world cannot continue more. Nietzsche declared just 100 years before that God is dead. The very day he declared that we can also not live anymore. He never thought about it. He thought just the contrary. He said God is dead and man is now free to live. But I say to you, if God is dead, man is dead already. The news may not have reached to him up to now, but he is dead. Because God is the vast useless. Man's world is the utilitarian world, the useful. Without the useful cannot exist. God is the play, and man is the work. Without God, work will become meaningless, a burden to be carried somehow. God is the fun. Man is serious. Without the fun, the seriousness will be too much. It will be like a disease. Don't destroy the temples. Don't destroy the mosques. Don't transform them into hospitals. You can make other hospitals. You can create other buildings for the schools. But let the useless remain there at the very center of life. That's why we have been placing the temple in the very marketplace, in the very center of the town. Just to show that the useless must remain at the very center, otherwise our utility is lost. The opposite must be taken into account, and the opposite is the greatest. What is the purpose of life? People go on coming and asking me. There is no purpose. There cannot be any. It's purposeless fun. You have to enjoy it. You can only enjoy it. You cannot do anything else about it. It is not marketable. And if you miss a moment, you have missed. You cannot go back. Religion is just the symbol. One man came to me and asked, in India there are 50 lakh sannyasins. This is very uneconomical, he said. And what these people are doing? They live on others' labor. They should not be allowed to exist. In Lhasa, they are not allowed to exist. Not a single sannyasi. The whole land has become like a prison. You are not allowed to be useless. In China, they are killing Buddhist monks and bhikkhus. In thousands they have killed. They are destroying all the monasteries. They are turning the whole country into a factory. As if man is just their stomach. And as if man can live by bread alone. But man has a heart also. And man has a being also. Which is not in any way purpose-oriented. Man wants to enjoy without cause and without reason. Man wants to be blissful, just for nothing. In India, that man asked, when you are going to stop this sannyasi? And he was very much against me. Because he said, you are increasing the number. Stop it. What use are these sannyasins? And his question seems relevant. And if he had gone to somewhere else, if he had asked some other religious head, he would have got the answer that they have used. But he was very much disturbed when I said, they have got no use. But life itself is without use. What is the purpose of it? Where are you going? What is the result? No purpose, no result, no goal. life is a constant ecstasy. Moment to moment, you can enjoy it. And if you start thinking of results, you miss enjoying it. Your roots are uprooted. Then you are no more in it. You have become an outsider. And then you will ask the meaning, the purpose. Have you observed whenever you are happy, you never ask what is the purpose of happiness? Whenever you are in love, have you ever asked what is the purpose of all this? When in the morning you see the sun rising and a flock of birds goes like an arrow in the sky, have you asked what is the purpose of it? A flower blooming alone in the night, filling the whole night with its fragrance. Have you asked what is the purpose of it? There is no purpose. Purpose is part of the mind, and life exists mindlessly. Hence the insistence for the useless. Because if you are too much after use, you cannot drop the mind. How can you drop the mind? If you are looking for some use, some result, you can drop the mind only when you have come to realize that there is no purpose and mind is not needed. You can put it aside. It is an unnecessary thing. Of course, when you go to the market, take it with you. You sit on the shop, use it. It is a mechanical device, just like a computer. Now scientists say that sooner or later we will supply to each child a computer. He can carry it in his pocket. He need not carry too many mathematics, too much mathematics in the mind. He can just push the button and the computer will do. Your mind is the natural computer. Why be burdened constantly by it? When it is not needed, put it aside. But you think it is needed because you have to do something useful. Who will tell you what is useful and what is useless? The mind constantly starts out, this is useful, do this, and that is useless, don't do that. The mind is your manager. The mind represents use. Meditation represents the useless. Move from the use to the useless. And make this movement so spontaneous and natural that there is no struggle, no conflict. As you move from your house out, you move in, make it as natural. When the mind is needed, use it as a mechanical device and not use it. There is no use, put it aside and forget it. Then be useless and do something useless. And your life will be enriched. And your life will become a balance between use and no use. And that balance transcends both. That is transcendental. It is neither use nor non-use. How long will he be able to use what he is using? Huitasu said, it would cease to serve any purpose. Chuantasu concluded, this was the absolute necessity of what is supposed to have no use. Even the useful cannot exist without the useless. The useless is the base. I say to you, your mind cannot exist without meditation. And if you try to do that impossible, you will go mad. That is what is happening to many people. They go mad. What is madness? Madness is an effort to do without meditation. Just to live with the mind without any meditation. Meditation is the base. Even the mind cannot exist without it. And if you try, then the mind goes mad, goes crazy. It is too much. It is unbearable. A madman is a man who is a perfect utilitarian. He has tried the impossible. He has tried to live without meditation. That's why he goes mad. Psychologists say that if you are not allowed to sleep for 3 weeks, you will go mad. Why? Sleep is useless. Why you will go mad if you are not allowed to sleep for 3 weeks? A man can live without food for 3 months, but a man cannot live without sleep for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks is the ultimate limit. It is not for you. Ultimate. You will go mad within 3 days. If you are not allowed to sleep, if the useless is cut, you will go mad. Madness is growing every day because meditation is not thought to be valuable. You think whatsoever can be prized, only that is valuable? Whatsoever can be purchased and sold, only that is valuable? Whatsoever is a market commodity, only that is valuable, then you are wrong. That which has no price is also valuable. That which cannot be sold and purchased, that is far more valuable than all that can be purchased and sold. Love is the base of sex. If you deprive love completely, sex goes perverse. Meditation is the base of mind. If you deny meditation, mind goes mad. Fun, play is the base of work. If you deny fun and play, work becomes a burden, a dead weight. Look at the useless sky. Your house may be useful, but it exists in this vast sky of uselessness. And if you can feel both, and if you become able to move from one to the other without any trouble, then for the first time, perfect human being is born in you. The perfect human being does not know what is in and what is out. Both are his. The perfect human being does not bother what is useful and what is useless. Both are his beings. A perfect human being uses no use. A perfect human being flies in the sky with both the wings of mind and meditation, of matter and consciousness, of this world and that, of God, of no God. He is a higher harmony of the opposites. Chuang Tzu emphasizes too much no use, too much useless, because you have emphasized too much the useful. Otherwise, that emphasis is not needed. It is just to give you balance. You have gone too much to the left. You have to be pulled to the right. But remember, because of this too much emphasis, you can again move to the other extreme. And that happened to men who followers of Chuang Tzu. That happened. They became addicted with the useless. They became mad with the useless. They moved too much towards the useless. That was not the point. They missed. Chuang Tzu emphasizes only because you have become so extremely addicted with the use, That's why he emphasizes the useless. But I must remind you, because mind can move to the opposite and remain the same. The real thing is transcendence. You have to come to a point where you can use the useful and the non-useful, the purposeful and the purposeless. Then you are beyond both. They both serve you. There are persons who cannot get rid of their mind, and there are persons who cannot get rid of their meditation. And remember, the disease is the same. You cannot get rid. First you were unable to get rid of the mind, somehow you managed. Now you cannot get rid of the meditation. Again, you move from one prison to another. Now, a real, a perfect man, a man of Tao, has no addictions. He can move easily from one extreme to another because he remains in the mind. He uses both the ways. Chong Tzu should not be misunderstood. That's why I say this. He can be misunderstood. People like Chong Tzu are dangerous. You can misunderstand them. And the more possibility is for misunderstanding than understanding. Because the mind says, okay, so enough of this sound, enough of this family, now I will become a vagabond. That is misunderstanding. You will carry the same mind. Then you will become addicted to your vagabondness. Then you will not be able to come back to the shop, to the market, to the family. Then you will be afraid of it. So, medicine can become a new disease if you get addicted to it. So the doctor has to look that you must get rid of the disease, but you should not become addicted to the medicine. Otherwise, he is not a good doctor. First, you have to get rid of the disease, and then you have to get rid immediately after it from medicine. Otherwise, the medicine will take the place of the disease. And you will always be clinging with it now. Mullah Nasruddin was teaching his small son, 7-year-old. He was teaching how to approach a girl, how to invite her for a dance, what to say and what not to say, how to persuade her. After half an hour, the boy came in and said, "Now teach me how to get rid of her." That has to be learned, and that is difficult part. To invite is very easy, but to get rid, very difficult. And you know well through your experience. To invite a girl is always easy. To persuade a girl is always easy. Then how to get rid? Then it becomes a fix. Then you cannot go anywhere. Then you forget whistling completely. Remember, useless has its own attraction. When you are so much troubled by the useful, you may move to the other extreme too much. You may lose balance. To me, a sannyasin is a deep balance, standing in the middle, freed from all the opposites. He can use, he can use no use. He can use the purposeful and he can use the non-purposeful, and instant remain beyond both. He is not used by them, he has become the master. Enough for today.